Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Spotlight, Manx Radio's weekly look into the world of arts, entertainment, creativity, brought to you by those lovely creative people at the Isle of Man Arts Council. H is away this week, so yes, it's me, Alex, along with a team of us who are going to be bringing you the programme over the next half an hour. We're going to be hearing about joyful harmony singing, Magicians of Man. Also, we're going to be hearing about the upcoming Young Actor of Man competition and what we can expect. And Guys and Dolls, did you go and see it? Did you enjoy it? And what is Connections? First of all, though, as I mentioned, we're going to be getting into the world of joyful harmony singing. And Christy caught up with Luna to find out exactly what joyful harmony is.
Joyful harmony singing is about bringing people together, making them feel connected with each other, and just experiencing the joy of singing together in harmony.
So how long has the group been running?
Well, I started this when I moved over to the island, which is almost 4 years ago. So it's been running since then, and I just kind of run them. They're one-off workshops, they stand alone, and I just run them every so often, probably every 2-3 months.
What made you want to start it in the first place?
I moved from Bristol and I've been running choirs and singing workshops and retreats for more than 20 years, actually. So it's something that I do. It's something that I'm really passionate about. And yeah, it's a real joy for me, actually.
I have to ask then, because of having done it over there and now coming over here, do you find a difference in the groups?
I do, actually. So I was running a couple of choirs in Bristol. So people, the demographic was quite different, younger group of people generally. So it's slightly different here, but it's great, you know, because I can see that a lot of people, you know, get a lot of joy from it. And it really gives them a lot. So that for me is great.
What does a standard workshop entail? What happens at these workshops?
They're really fun, actually. I keep it really fun and light. So it might start off with some, you know, physical warm-ups. We have fun with that, you know, kind of moving our bodies, walking around, do a few vocal warm-ups. And then we get straight into learning songs. Often with the workshops that I do here, because they're standalone, they're quite straightforward. They don't take that long to learn. But I like to make it varied. So we might do, you know, some African gospel. We might do some, you know, contemporary arrangement. I might just do a little kind of chorus thing from a song. So just keeping them fairly, you know, short. We might cover about three songs in a space of, you know, two and a half hours, 3 or 4 songs. But we have a lot of fun and we have a tea break so that, you know, it's social. And it really is about, you know, the joy of singing together and you know, being connected and having that sense of well-being that singing brings.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because there's something about putting voices together, especially when it's multiple voices, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, unison singing doesn't do anything for me. So I'm a bit of a harmony junkie. I just love harmonies. There's nothing quite like it. And also, I'm in the best position to enjoy all the harmony because I'm right in the middle of it all. So, yeah, I just think, you know, and I think it's very empowering for people to, you know, to come along. They don't have to be an experienced singer. They're never singing on their own. They're singing in their group. So it's like 4-part or 3-part harmonies. And some of them, you know, they've never done that before. And it's just really empowering for them to use their voices, to express themselves and to create this beautiful sound that comes from, you know, singing together in harmony.
And it probably gives you a certain confidence going forward in the rest of your life as well, really, doesn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think it's really empowering. And also because of the benefits that it gives you. And it really gives you a kind of mood boost. It creates all these positive, you know, neuro kind of chemicals in your body. And yeah, It's really amazing, actually, what you know, singing does for people, you know, singing together. And also, I mean, you know, I call it joyful harmony singing. I do a lot of kind of really uplifting songs, but I also do songs that are, you know, more meditative, more contemplative, and, you know, that brings, you know, moments of like stillness and peace and you know, sometimes it can be really moving as well as being, you know, that kind of uplifting, joyful kind of stuff.
So do you find that people return, they come back again?
They do. I get, you know, it's really lovely. I get a lot of positive feedback and people who, you know, come to me afterwards and say that was the best thing and they can't wait to, you know, and when I kind of put it out there, you know, about the next workshop, they'll write messages and say they can't wait. So it's really, you know, it's really kind of nice for me to kind of facilitate that. And it's, I get a lot from it as well.
Well, on that note, then, when are your next workshops?
My next workshop is actually this coming Saturday. So it's at 10 o'clock at Braid. It's 10 till 12:45 at Braid Hall, and everyone is welcome.
So if someone is listening and they're thinking they want to find out more about the workshops themselves and maybe can't come this weekend but might be interested in a future one, where do they go to find out more information?
They can contact me. I do have a Facebook page called Joyful Harmony Singing, so they can look me up and they can send me a message through that.
Luna from Joyful Harmony Singing chatting to Christy De Haven there. And if you want to find out more information, please do get in touch with them. Don't know about you, I was never any Paul Daniels myself. Crikey. I did have a Paul Daniels magic kit, but I'd never managed to master any of the tricks involved. But, of course, there is an organisation over here that does showcase the wonderful world of magic, and that is Magicians of Man. And Chris Quirk has been talking to Giles Beaumont and says, you know, how long has he been involved?
Well, I've been involved with the Magicians of Man in particular for, I want to say, about 8 years. However, I have been doing magic quite a bit longer than that. I started when I was about 8, so that'll be 16 years this year, actually, which sounds long when I say it out loud. So I originally started in the Young Magicians of Man, and then sort of grew into the Magicians of Man after a while.
So what made you get involved, or what made you get into magic in the first place? Was there an inspiration there?
Yeah, there's quite a few things. I wouldn't say there's any sort of particular moment which sticks in my mind. It was like several different things. Like at the time, there was Dynamo, Magician Impossible, that was on the TV. He had his whole series, and that was one of the things. And then there was a show at the Gaiety Theatre, which the Young Magicians of Man at the time put on for their 25-year anniversary. But what really sort of started it for me was I went to a theme park called Camelot. Unfortunately, they're closed down now, but there was a magician there called Scoop. And there he did a whole routine. He was sort of like a jester type thing. And then right at the end of the show, he said, for anyone that wants to learn any magic, there's a CD in the gift shop. So if anyone wants to learn some basic tricks, get that, and then you can learn some bits. And for the rest of the week, I just pestered my parents to get it consistently, like almost like 2 or 3 times a day, just kept asking them. And then they eventually got it for me. And I remember that very same holiday, we had like a portable DVD player. And I remember just watching the DVD over and over on that little portable thing, just learning the card tricks from there. And that was when I was about 8, like I say, and I've just been doing it since then. So typically I do close-up magic, and it's usually with a deck of cards. So I might go round an event where there might be a couple hundred people, and I jump from like either table hopping or go from one small group to the next and do close-up magic. And usually the stuff I like to do is very interactive. So I might get people to hold the cards, and then I somehow take a card from between the hands and get that in my hands, sort of thing. And it's something that's very tangible and physical, rather than just you're watching me do this trick. While I do some like that, I try and get things that are more interactive.
So as of all the magicians that are performing with Magicians of Man, who are out and about and able to take bookings?
Yes, so there are quite a few of us. Obviously, there is myself, and as I mentioned before, my mother as well. She goes by the Purple Haired Magician. And there is also a Chris Burns, who's also another children's magician, absolute bundles of energy. When you see him perform, you think it is all an act and he's like got these bundles of energy, but no, he is always like that. He is massive, like bundles and bundles of energy. And he's brilliant with kids. And then there's also David Valentine as well. He's relatively new magician. He's been performing for a couple of years, and I've helped him out from time to time as well. And there's Paul Martin, who's the chairman of the Magician's Man. I'm not sure how much he performs anymore, but I believe he does do some from time to time as well. And of the members that are hireable, I think that's all of them. I hear lots of stories of like generally local companies that are paying quite a bit of money to get magicians in from across. The latest one I heard was someone paid up to £2,000 to get a magician from across. And then that was on top of the accommodation for them to stay here overnight, and then all the other expenditures as well to get them over here. Whereas obviously the local talent is just as good, if not better, for obviously a fraction of the price.
I wonder why that is. Do you think it might just be people aren't fully aware of what exists on the islands, or do you feel that maybe, you know, that they're a bit, I don't know, biased as to, you know, what they'd prefer in that sense?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, really. Like, I think there are some people that are just ill-informed about the talent that is on island, and there are some others where they just don't believe it's good enough for them somehow, even though the majority of the time they've not seen them actually perform. So it's a bit of both, really.
And it's one of those stigmas that needs to be shattered, isn't it? Because we have some great talents on the Isle of Man, right across the island. And again, it's just something that, you know, as you say, you know, people don't automatically associate with. And it's such a shame. And if anyone wanted to book you, they could do. Do you have a social media?
Yeah, I do. So you can have a look on Facebook. You can search Giles the Magician or Isle of Man Magician, and I should be the one that pops up. So you can find me on there, send me a message, and then I should get back to you fairly quick.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
Chris Quirk talking to Giles Beaumont there from Magicians of Man. You're listening to Spotlight on Manx Radio, looking into the world of arts and entertainment, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council. And the Young Actor of Man competition is coming up. What are we going to expect from this year's competitors? Well, Chris Quirk has been finding out.
Here I'm joined with Scarlett and also Leandra. And Leandra, I'd like to ask, what are you expecting in this year's competition?
Hi, Chris. So this year we have 24 incredible young performers aged between 13 and 19 who will be taking part in the competition. They start the day doing a workshop with Edward Bennett. He is the adjudicator this year, and he is a trained actor who also does and works for the Royal Shakespeare Company. So he's coming in to do lovely things with the competitors in the morning. Then they'll have a lovely break. And 3:30, the competition to the public begins, where these competitors will perform one monologue from a published play. This is different from years gone by, where it would be either a 10-minute performance or a musical theatre or an act, like what we would class as a straight play, so it's not with the music. So this year, he's asked for a published play only. So they'll be performing that, yes.
I'd like to ask you, Scarlett, so the last performance you did, you won with. What was that performance?
Well, last year when I performed, it was a different kind of setup to this year, where instead of having a monologue from a published play, we got given a theme and we were able to devise or put together different pieces to fit that theme within like a 10-minute like span of time. And what I did was I wrote my own pieces based on the theme, which was, I think, my story, your story, our story. And I wrote my own piece about a situation. And then, yeah, I put three different point of views together and I performed it. And
wow.
Yeah.
And how did that feel to perform in front of people, and with it being your own as well?
It made me feel very vulnerable.
Yeah.
It was a completely different experience I'd never been able to properly get before. And it was really cool seeing the other people performing as well. Some people creating their own pieces, some people putting different things together. It was a great experience. And being on that stage, performing something I wrote and something that I can put my whole heart and like joy into was great. Let alone winning it as well. That was
That is amazing to put all that effort into something which you've created from scratch yourself. And then, of course, to get up there and actually do it is such an achievement. You've done really, really well. And if there's anyone out there, you know, listening who perhaps is thinking about getting into this or is a little bit too nervous, would you have any advice for them?
I think my best piece of advice I could give is to have belief in yourself, mm-hmm. because going into theatre, no matter if it's just straight acting, singing, musical theatre, dance, everyone's prone to compare yourself to other people. And I feel like that's a kind of loop people can get stuck into. I got stuck into it myself ages ago, where you just want to compare yourself to other people, thinking, oh, I'm not as good as them, or I wish I was as good as them. But I think from this competition, I finally was able to realise you can celebrate other people and you can still have confidence in yourself and you can still be happy with the performance you've done. And I think doing Young Actor has gave me that confidence that I needed to make me do stuff and make me do the things I want to do, and it's gave me the hope of being able to pursue it later on, and gave me that dream, yeah. making it feel more real.
Where do you see this going for you? Do you have an idea of a certain type of performance that you would like to, you know, pursue on a professional basis?
Well, I really want to get into acting. I want to study acting at drama school, and I'm a lover for my plays. I love my Shakespeare, so I'd really want to get into doing plays. But I also like the idea of TV and film. It's such a diverse career path where you can try these different things if the opportunity comes along. So my main goal and my main like dream is to do Shakespeare and perform that like across the UK. That would be really cool. But yeah.
And if you were to get into TV and say, you know, they said, oh, there's a chance to do a couple of lines in this show. Currently, what show would that be for you? What show do you watch and think, do you know what? I actually think I'd be quite good in that.
Well, I could see myself in a one-off cameo. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, yes. It's my favourite show. I absolutely love it. It's such a good sitcom, but also serious at times. I'd happily take an odd role there. Just being interrogated. I'll take it.
Okay, well, Leandra, can you tell us how we'd get more information on this?
Okay, yes. So if you just need to visit the www.madfa, which is madf.im, and when you get to the page, there's a What's On, so the Manx What's On Stage, and it actually brings you to everything that's Manx that's on the Isle of Man in the up and coming months, and you will see there are one act play festival, the play in a day from Edward Bennett, and our wonderful Young Actor of Man competition.
Excellent. And also, can you tell us a bit more about the Arts Council?
Yes, the Arts Council have kindly supported the funding for our trophies this year. So we've got some beautiful star trophies this year. Yes.
Nice.
So yeah, I had lots of fun having the sort of engraved and things. So yes, thank you to the Arts Council for the support for the funding for our Young Actor of Man winner and support and runner-up trophy. Thank you.
And of course, the funding and the donations is so important, isn't it? I mean, that's what's helped get the adjudicator over with all of that knowledge and all of that experience, and it's what helps obviously get the trophies together and helps keep, you know, a bright future, you know, for people like you, Scarlett. So
yeah.
People are listening and they would like to get in contact or help, what would they do?
The MADFA website will give you our secretary's email. We are a charity, so it would be wonderful if we had somebody who decided they would like to be our benefactor and give us lots and lots of money. It'd be really, really amazing, because money is very important to keep something like this going.
Can you or any member of your family be another young actor of Man? Well, there's the information. There's how you can find out more. Maybe go and get involved. And finally, Ben Hartley's been catching up with David Dawson, who's been very, very busy with Guys and Dolls, but he's also involved with Connections. What's it all about? Well, we're going to find out. But first, how did Guys and Dolls go?
I mean, it's a real golden age classic musical. And a lot of people who do know it remember the film very well with Frank Sinatra and Marlon Brando. But obviously that was kind of quite a while ago anyway. So it was amazing how many people had never actually heard of Guys and Dolls before and took a chance and thankfully came away absolutely loving it. I mean, it's a real feel-good show. We knew we had that and the cast was superb. I mean, the amount of talent on stage and off stage and the amount of time that gets put into these shows is phenomenal. But it really came up well. Such colour, such music. It was just brilliant. And I'm really, really proud of them, but also really glad to have the break.
And it's interesting because I think it's considered to be one of the classic musicals, 1950s originally, but clearly, you know, those songs are timeless, the story is timeless, there is obviously still a big appetite for that style of musical today.
Yeah, it is, and it's funny because it is a period piece now. You know, you can't say it's not. It is a timed piece, and, you know, whether it will, you know, how much longer it'll have, I don't know. I think it will have a place because it has that real, it's so stylized with the classic three-pin stripes and the striped suits and those wonderful dresses. So it is glorious in that sense. And yeah, and as I say, stands a tale with, it's up there with, you know, your Sound of Music and your Oklahomas. It's kind of one of those musicals where it's the real kind of almost start of what we kind of now see as modern musical theatre, you know, moving away from those musicals and things. And it brought in what we have today. And that's been really exciting to kind of go back to the roots of musical theatre in that sense.
Well, you say you're looking forward to a bit of a break, but I don't think it will be that long because you already have your next project on the horizon a little later this month. Connections National Theatre. It's coming to the Isle of Man. It's coming to Kensington there. You're obviously very much involved with this. Just tell us about Connections, that sort of new reader's start here. What exactly is the project?
Yeah, so people might be aware of the National Theatre on London's South Bank. Very, very famous theatre, and a lot of the top actors are kind of debut there or star there. And they run each year the National Theatre Connections programme. So they have over 300 groups get involved around the UK. So it's actually the biggest youth festival in the world. And they have up to 10 new plays commissioned by leading writers each year, specifically aimed at people aged 13 to 19. So it's for them. It's been written specifically for them, their kind of thoughts, their views, what they want to talk about, what they want to deal with. And we have been a part of that for about 11 years now. So we pick two of those plays, a first choice and a second choice. And then we know which one we're going to get. They'll let us know. And we perform it on Ireland. And we have a National Theatre director come over, and they will watch the performance on Ireland, give some feedback. Really great for the students to kind of get that kind of real high professional kind of feedback. And then we take it away and we go to a partner festival. So we have been everywhere, which is incredible because it allows our students to go and see different parts of the UK that they probably never get to, and see wonderful theatres and meet great new people. So we've been up to Inverness, we've been down to Bath, we've been to Cardiff, and this year we're actually to Blackpool, so a lot closer to home. But we're actually performing on the grand stage itself, which is a real kind of coup in that sense. So we're very lucky. We're going to get a little taster session at the Gaiety, which is really nice for them to get used to that bigger theatre space. But then, yeah, performing on the grand will be a real treat. And then there is the chance that off those new plays that are written, they're all then performed down at the National Theatre in the Dorfman Theatre on South Bank. And we were very lucky a few years ago, our performance was chosen of Hunt. So the cast got to go down then. So it's just, that's incredible. I mean, you know, not many people get to perform on the Dorfman Theatre in London. So it's been a real coup. And And actually, it's been great because just going back to Guys and Dolls, two of our cast, Evie and Zach, were both in Connections and now kind of moved up. Evie's just about to go away and train. So she may not be back for a while. She may be taken up by an agent and be working professionally across. So it's really lovely to kind of know that we're developing that young talent, and then it's going to feed its way up and we'll see it as they turn into adults.
And what you've just described there, Dave, really speaks for itself. I mean, clearly that this is a hugely beneficial experience for young performers on the island. I mean, they must get so much out of this. What a sort of springboard for them if they want to go, as you say, a little bit further in the business or just do it still for fun. The experience is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I think the primary thing we always go for is we want them to develop. They work for a long time. It starts in September and will run through to April.
So obviously in terms of the performance, Dave, for this year, it's all cast, all sorted. But presumably, you know, as you sort of roll into next year, looking ahead 12 months, there'll be an opportunity sort of later on in the year, presumably, for new youngsters to get involved in Connections.
Yes. We have a little break. We're actually doing another show, a musical at the Kensington, which there's going to be audition information coming up for that for the summer. But Connections itself will be starting to audition around September time for next year. So yes, it's open to everyone, whether you have experience or not. It can be quite busy. So we do ask that people get their names in as soon as they see that information come out. So it's good to try and follow us on the Facebook page or get in touch by popping in or calling Kensington Arts Centre.
David Dawson talking to Ben Hartley there about Connections at Kensington Road Arts Centre. If you want to get in touch with any project you're doing around the Isle of Man that's a creative, arts-based, all you have to do is drop us a line here at spotlight@manxradio.com and you could be featuring on a future programme. I've been Alex Brindley. Thank you very much for your company. Howard will be back in the chair next week. If you want to catch up with these interviews again, you can, of course, listen to them on our podcast, which you'll find at manxradio.com and all the usual places you get your podcasts from. Chris Kinley is up next with this evening's greatest hits. Have a lovely evening.